Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masechta. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the upper part of Daf Lamed Aleph, third line from the top. You will notice a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin where we notice a Nosei. Nosei is a topic heading in the Gemara markings Shas Ozer. The Shas Ozer is that Gemara that appears on your screen. We provide topic headings and structural notes that we call Mivneh from time to time. In this case, the Nosei reads, Mechiras Bayis Bebote Orei Choyma Uzman Gulosa. The sale of houses in walled cities, and the time that's available for the seller to redeem it from the buyer. The topic of houses in walled cities is found in the Torah in the Sefer Vayikra, where the Torah makes a distinction between houses in walled cities and those that are not in walled cities. With regard to houses in walled cities that were walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, from the time of the entrance of the Jewish people into the land of Israel, there is a very specific set of laws that apply to them. Amongst them is the halacha that one who sells a house in a walled city has the ability to force a buyback if the seller does so within a year. After a year goes by, the possibility of buying it back is lost. The Mishnah: Hamocher bayis v'botei orichoy maharei ze goel miad v'goel kol shneim osur chodesh. One who sells a house in a walled city, unlike a stay achuza, unlike an inheritance field that has a different set of laws that apply to it that we have been learning in the recent dapim. With regard to a house in a walled city, the seller can force a buyback immediately. In contrast with the stay achuza, where it has to stay in the hands of the buyer for 2 years. And also, with regard to the walled city, the goyel kol shnei moser chodesh, he has 12 months within to attempt to buy it back, or offer to buy it back from the buyer. Harei ze kemin ribis v'eino ribis. This situation is like a situation of interest, but it's not, because this was done not as a loan, but rather as a sale. Now, what do we mean by interest? So the answer to that is, let us focus on the buyer for the time being. The buyer, he paid money to the owner of the house. If the owner decides to buy it back, so the buyer is going to get his money back. In addition to getting his money back, is it not true that he has enjoyed living in this house for the last few months? In other words, up till a year? And we don't see any need or expectation of that buyer of having to pay any rent for that period of time. So in effect, this buyer, he laid out money, which was really money for a sale, for a purchase. It wasn't a loan. He laid out money, receives the money in return. In addition to that, he also benefits from having lived in the house. That additional benefit is characterized as something like interest. But it's not real interest, as we said, because this was not done as a loan. The money that was extended and returned was in the context of a sale. The Mishnah continues, Meis Hamocher Yigal Beno. If the seller dies, the son has the right to force the buyback. the son of the seller can redeem the house from the buyer. Meis halokeach, in the event that the purchaser dies, yigal miyad beno, the redemption of the house can be done by paying the son of the buyer, by returning the money to the son of the buyer. Ein moinin loy shana elo misho'o shemochar. The calculation of a year is based on the moment of the sale. Shenemar ad melois loy shana. The pasuk indicates until the completion of the year. Kishu omer tamima, the pasuk says shana tamima. The word tamima usually means a complete entity. So lahavi es chodesh ha'ibur. This includes this, or we can say adds to the year, the leap month. In other words, the month that's added in the event that we extend a year by a month, which happens every so often, we add an extra Adar to the calendar. So that extra month figures to the benefit of the seller, whereby he has an extra month in which to redeem it. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe has a different take on this word, Litein Lo, Shana V'Ibura. A lunar calendar, which is sometimes referred to as the Jewish calendar, but the lunar-based calendar is 12 months of alternating 29-30 days, approximately. That would give you 354 days. That's 12 units of lunar cycle. With regard to the solar calendar, there is an amount of 365 days. So there is an extra 11 days with regard to the lunar versus solar calendar. That extra unit of 11 days is called the Ibura. So that, according to Rebbe, the seller has 365 days in which to buy back the house. And that's learned from the seeming extra word of tamima in the pasuk. Higia yoim shneimosor chodesh velo nigala, if 12 months go by and it hasn't been redeemed, hoiso chaluto lo, it becomes permanently that of the buyer. Echon halokech, whether you're dealing with a buyer, vechon hanitan lo b'matana, or one who received it as a gift. Shneimar latzmisus, the posuk latzmisus, the word indicates permanence. There is more to comment on that, but the Gemara will refer to this later. Before we go further, we would like to look at a Rashi which said that the year is counted from the point of sale. Rashi says, She'elo mishol shenimkar, she'im moch Reuven l'Shimon v'Nisan, if Reuven sold a house to Shimon in the month of Nisan, v'Shimon l'Levi b'Iyar, and then Shimon turned around and sold it to Levi the next month, kevan shigia Nisan haba, when the next Nisan comes from the original sale, nechlat, it cannot be redeemed. V'ein moinin l'mecher sheni, we don't count from the second sale, elo l'rishon, we count from the first sale. So that Reuven, who sold in Nisan, Reuven will not be able to redeem it if the next Nisan goes by. The Gemara. Masnisin delo kerebi. Before going further, we glance at the outside margin under the No Say heading. We notice we have written, Machlokes Rebbe v'Chachamim bedroshas ha'psukim b'vayikra chavhei. We'll be exposed to a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding how to explain the psukim in Vayikra Perek Chavhei. So our Mishnah says that the Gemara says that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Our Mishnah said that redemption can take place immediately, which gives one the impression even on the very day of the sale. So that point is not like Rebbe, Desanya, Rebbe Omer, Yomim, Ein Yomim, Pochos Mishnayim. Now, this word Yomim comes from a pasuk that you can see written in on the inside margin, Vayikra Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Chof Tes says, Vish Kimkor Beis Moshav Ir Choyma Voisa Guloso Atoim Shona Shnas Memkoro Yomim Tia Guloso. So you see the word Yomim there? And Rebbe says that the word Yomim indicates 2 days, that 2 days it must remain in the hands of the purchaser, and no redemption or buyback can be made within 2 days. V'rabbonon ha-yomim ha-avdilei. We use very often in the Gemara marking system when there's a back and forth discussion of highlighting names or opinions, we use a squiggle underline so that when you look at the Gemara, you can see who the speaker is. So if you skim down the next few lines, you'll notice the use of this marking indicating a back and forth between the Rabbonon and Rebbe. So the Rabbonon are asked now, what do they do with the word Yomim? Rabbonon hai Yomim mai avdilei. Answer, mi boya lei, mi yoim li yoim. They need it to tell us that when we calculate a year, we go from the day of the sale to the same day a year later. And we don't say that a year is up when the calendar year changes. In other words, if we assume for the time being that Aleph Tishrei represents Rosh Hashanah, that's the day on which we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, and if a sale took place sometime before Rosh Hashanah, we do not say that as soon as Rosh Hashanah arrives, the year is up. But rather, miyom liyom, and that's learned from yomim, means a full year from the day of the sale. Verebi miyom liyom in all. Where does Rebbe learn that idea that the year is determined not by the calendar change of date, but rather a full year from date of sale? Answer: Nafgale me'ad toim shnas memkoroi. He learns it from that part of the pasuk, which says until the end of the year of the sale. V'rabbonon, what do the rabbonon do with that pasuk? Hahu miboya le shnas memkoro shaloi. Now we should point out before we go further that as we learn this rabbonon response, we're going to end up repeating the point that there is that the year is judged on a personal basis. And if we end up repeating that point and learn it from this part of the pasuk, we're going to have to then re-explain the word yomim, which they already said was cited for this purpose. So we indicate the fact that a couple points will be discussed right now in this answer by the use of the aleph and beis that you see we've written in above the words. So the Gemara says, as far as the Rabbonon are concerned, they will use ad toim shnas memkaro, ahumi boyalei, Aleph, shnas memkoro shelo velo shnas shel minyan oilam, which means the year is judged or based on the year from the point of sale, a full year from point of sale, and not a year determined by the mere change in calendar year. This point was in fact included in what yomim taught us before. So now we have to then reevaluate the yomim. What do the Rabbonin now do with Yomim? Before, they said that Yomim was to the exclusion of Minyan Oilam. But now we're saying that point is learned from Ad Toim Shnas Memkoro. So, V'yomim, Miboya Lohu, L'me'eis, L'eis. They needed to tell us that not only do we look at the day date, but we also look at the hour of the day in which the sale took place. That's what me'ace la'ace means. That means if the sale took place on Aleph Nisan of this year at 12 in the afternoon, the year is completed by Aleph Nisan next year, 12 in the afternoon. That means you could still be on Aleph Nisan, but if you hit not 12 noon, but rather 2 p.m., 2 in the afternoon, it's too late to buy back the field, to force a buyback. The Gemara continues that by saying that we learn this idea of from hour to hour from the word yomim, de'i me'ad toim shnas memkoro, had I just had that phrase which taught me a full year of calendar, a full year of from day to day, I would have thought that only tells me from the day of the sale till the same day 1 year later, but not hour to hour. Therefore, Kosav Rachmona Yomim. The word yomim then comes to cover that point, even hour to hour. Where does Rebbe learn this point, that a year is also determined by the same hour 1 year later? Answer, nafkole mi tamima. He learns it from the word tamima. V'rabbanan, hahu mibayale le'ibura. The Rabbanan used tamima for the point of ibura. We saw before the term Ibura is a reference, according to the Rabbanan, to the extra month that's added to the year. So they used Tamima for that purpose, and we saw that in the Mishnah. The Rebbe Nami Ha Miboyolei LeIbura, is it not so that the Rebbe also uses Tamima for the extra days? We saw in the Mishnah the extra days that the solar year has over the lunar year. So how can you say that Rebbe learns from Tamima the idea of Me'es La'es? The Gemara responds, Hochi Nami Ha Miboya Le Le'ibura. In fact, Rebbe does need the Tamima for the extra days of the solar year over the lunar year. That the year is determined by a passage of 365 days, the number of days of a solar year. Miyom miyom ume'es la'es, these 2 points of from day to day and hour to hour, me'ad toim shnas memkoro nafka, he learns both from ad toim shnas memkoro. Apparently, Rebbe is not sensitive to the approach the Rabbanan had to this issue by saying that ad toim shnas memkoro would have taught me only miyom liyom. Rebbe says, no, it teaches me, in addition to miyom liyom, it also teaches me me'es la'es. The Gemara continues now with the issue of the ribis. Ribis is interest, the interest issue that was featured in the Mishnah. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading, Geulas Habayis, Bebotei Orichoma, skipping the little parentheses in the note, we say here that the redemption of a house in a walled city, Koshur Leparshas Ribis, has a connection to the issue of interest. Interest in Jewish law is something forbidden for one to collect and even for one to pay out. So there will be a machloikis tanoim regarding the categorizing of this situation that appears to be of interest. Let's go over the note again. Gula sabayis mabotei rechoimo. Hakoina mekabel kasav b'chazora. The purchaser actually gets his money back if it's redeemed within a year. Ubenoisaf, and in addition to the money he gets back, dor boisabayis toch oisushana. He also was living in that house during the year. So that is koshur leparshas ribis. It has a connection or a relationship to the prohibition of taking interest. Machlokes Tanoim b'hagdorosoi. We'll see a machlokes Tanoim in how to categorize this case. Lebraisa ribis gemura. According to a braisa that we'll see in the Gemara, it's called full-fledged ribis. Elisha teira itirosoi. And if it's full-fledged ribis, then how can we account for it? If it's something forbidden, but rather so the braisa will tell us that there's a special allowance the Torah makes in this case. Lefi HaMishnah, it's kamin ribis. It's like ribis, but it's not actual ribis. So we have this machlokas tonim and how to view this case of the Botei Orechoma redemption. In the as far as additional markings are concerned, we'll see the use of a diamond, and under our Mivneh heading, these diamonds represent gishos, approaches, lahasbir machlokas hamishnah v'abraisa now, how to explain the machlokas between the Mishnah and the other Tanaic source featured in the Gemara. So now we turn to the Gemara. Hareze kemin ribis was quoted in our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, v'hatanya hareze ribis gemura. This scenario of a purchaser of the Bayis Boter Rechoma getting his house back, getting his money back, that is, in exchange for returning the house, he gets his money back, plus he has been living in there cost-free. That, according to the Tanaic source quoted, is ribbis gemura, full-fledged ribbis. Well, that would appear to be then a contradiction in sources. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kashya. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't have to view it as a contradiction in sources. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Ha Rabbanan. These represent two different Tanaic sources, two different opinions. That is, one according to Rabbi Yehuda and the other according to the Rabbanan. These opinions will be featured now in a source, Desanya. Hare shohoyo noishe b'chavero mona. There was a person, noishe is trying to collect a debt of 100. Mona is 100, we say $100. The osa loy sodehu mecher. And the lova, the one who borrowed the money, put up his field as collateral. And he said that if I don't pay you your debt, then the field will be yours. Rashi, underneath the Gemara, says, V'osalo sodeu mecher, shemishkein, mishkein is collateral, shemishkein lo sodeu al oisamona, to cover that 100 that he owed, v'kosavlo, and a borrower wrote, im loy etein lochmona mikan v'ad sholosh shonim, if I don't pay you the $100 within 3 years, arei yishelcha, then the field shall be yours. So now there's an interim period, we'll call it the 3 year period in this example, could be any amount of time, but as far as the example is concerned, the interim period of 3 years, we have a field that belongs, technically speaking, to the borrower. He set it up as a mashkon. The field will produce fruits. Who eats of those fruits? Let's just bear in mind that in the event that the borrower, the love, pays up the debt, so the borrower will get back his field. In the event that the borrower does not pay up the debt, then we can say that the field is considered sold or belonging to the lender. Who eats the fruits? The issue of the fruits has the potential for being a problem of interest. Bizman shehamocher oichel peros. The word mocher is a code for the borrower, because the word mocher usually means the seller. In this case, with regard to the field, it's his field that he's transferring over in potential to the lender. So he, the borrower, is called the mocher. Bizman shehamocher oichel peros. In the event that the borrower is consuming the fruits of those interim years, mutter, then everything is fine. Lokeach oichel perois, if the lokeach, the purchaser, but in truth it means the lender, if he consumes the fruits, usser. Very simply, because besides the money he is anticipating getting back, he will also in the interim have been benefiting from the fruits. So he's getting his loan back, loan plus. That creates an interest problem. And hence the first opinion in this source says that that is forbidden. So that the only possibility that is allowed is if the field is set up as collateral, the fruit consumption can be done by the borrower alone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af bizman shalokeach oichel peros mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the lokeach, in this case it means the malve, literally the purchaser, but it's the malve, if he consumes the fruits, it's okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda just gave this, we'll call it lenient ruling, that either way there is no ribbis problem, even if the lender consumes the fruits. Rabbi Yehuda says, Maisa v'baitis ben zunin, there was an incident involving this individual, she'osa sodeu mecher, al pi rabbeloza ben Azaria. Baitus had borrowed money, and he set up his field as collateral, with the authority under the authority of Rabbeloza ben Azaria, v'loikeach oichel peris hoya, and the malve was using the fruits. He was eating the fruits. So you have a malve who very likely or possibly will get his money back, and in addition to that, he's benefiting from fruits, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said it's okay. Amru lo, so the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda said back to me, Sham Raya, from there you're bringing a proof to your position. Mocher ochel peros hoyev lo lokeach. The borrower, the mocher, who was the borrower, the loveh, he was eating the fruits, not the malveh, not the lender. My binayu, what is the underlying point of difference or controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim? The Gemara says, Tzad echad beribis iko binayu. This is an expression, Tzad echad beribis, which is best understood by explaining it through the Rashi, who appears at the bottom of the Rashi commentary. Tzad echad beribis. She'im yigoleno, if the borrower, in fact, pays back the money, and in the meantime, the lender was eating the fruits, so then you would have a ribis problem. You'd have the lender getting back his money, because the borrower is goel, is redeeming. And in addition to the money he gets back, the lender is also benefiting from the fruits. However, ve'im lav, that means if the borrower does not redeem the field, and the field stays in the hands of the malve, so the malve never got back the money that he laid out. So then he's not getting back his cash loan, he's not getting back the loaned money plus fruits, and therefore it's lo yehi ribis. There is no ribis problem. There is another approach to this issue of tzad echad beribis, in other words, another approach to the definition of it. There is a comment that's found in the Rabbeinu Gershom that you can see at the bottom of the page. Tzad echad beribis iko binayu. Lahochi kori le tzad echad beribis. It's called by this term the lochoshiv ribis gemura. What is considered full ribis, true ribis, and the ribis de halva, ribis through a loan, kagon hilveu sela behe dinrim, where a sela which is worth as a coin worth 4 dinrim, someone says I'm giving you a sela of 4 and you give me back 5. Aval ribis de mekach umemkar, ribis that results from a sale, kori tzad echad ribis. It's called tzad echad ribis. The ego de Omar, another approach, and this second approach is that which Rashi featured here, is hainu tzad echad ribis she'im yifdeno, if the borrower pays cash back to the lender, yehei ribis, then the consumption of the fruits on the part of the lender would constitute interest. Yehei ribis ma she'ochal. Ve'im lo yifdeno, if the borrower doesn't pay back, then lo yehi ribis. Then we don't see the lender getting back cash plus. Getting back cash plus creates the ribis problem, but if he's not redeeming it, so you don't have this cash plus situation. I want to go back just to the first comment of the Rabbeinu Gershom, where he said it's called tzad echad ribis because it's not full-fledged ribis. It's not a case of someone lending 4, getting back 5. My understanding of that is that in this case, we had someone who had in fact borrowed money. However, the lashon of the brisa was v'osalo sodeu mecher. We explained that before as being as setting up the field as collateral. It might also be understood, and this is what the Rabbeinu Gershom is possibly alluding to, is that once the the borrower says that I want the field, in the event that I don't pay you back your cash, then consider yourself as being the purchaser of the field. By setting it up that way, by presenting the field as a, in true, it's payment in lieu of the cash, but he's also saying then, consider yourself as having bought the field, and not only that, but it might very well be viewed as if he bought the field from, you know, retroactively, that in the event that the loan is not paid up, then the field is considered his from right now, from the point that the borrower makes this offer. So in that sense, the relationship here is no longer one of a pure lender and borrower, but rather one of a buyer and seller. And it's in that spirit that it's considered tzad echad beribis, only from the standpoint that the loan is paid back in cash. But it's not a full-fledged ribis case because there's also an element of sale involved. And as we said, in the case of sales, where extra money is paid or extra value is received, that's not called ribis. And in this case, in the event that the lender gets the field, it's true he's getting the field which has corresponding value to the loan, and it's true that he is also benefiting from those fruits, but he is considered a buyer in that capacity, and hence it takes it out of the realm of pure interest. The Gemara had said at the bottom of this omit that what's the point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? And we said the point of difference is this thing called Tzad Echad Beribis, Iko Binayu. Who holds what? Tanakama Sovar, Tzad Echad Beribis, also the Rabbanan who forbade the consumption of the fruits on the part of the lender, because of the, as Rashi said, because it could come to a case of ribis, it's therefore forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Tzad Echad Beribis, Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda who allowed the lender to eat the fruits, is because since you don't have a case of ribis under all circumstances, namely in the event that the borrower does not pay back the loan, therefore it's not prohibited, it's allowed. Rava Omar. Rava, in looking at these Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan tells us Tekule Alma Tzad Echad Beribis Oser. Everyone will agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Tzad Echad Beribis is forbidden. V'hocha Beribis Almanas Lahachsir Iko Binayon. Here, it's a different story. The lender, in the event that he eats the fruits, and the loan does get paid back, he agrees to pay for the fruits. That agreement to pay back for the fruits, does that in and of itself allow the lender to eat the fruits? That's called ribis, that he would be collecting interest, so to speak, in the form of the fruits. Because after all, in the event that he gets paid back cash, the fruits that he ate would have been extra. However, he agrees to pay back for the fruits. That's called ribis al menas lachsir, on condition to return the money. So, mor sovar aser, umor sovar muter. Now, what we said, we should take a look at Rashi to see a little bit more on this. Rashi at the top, tekuli almo tzad echad beribis ki hai gavna aser. This tzad echad beribis case where there exists a possibility of the loan being paid back and the consumption of the fruits on the part of the lender would constitute ribis, creates a problem. Hayul umei korabaturas halvo osuliode, since the outset of this arrangement or relationship was a loan-based relationship. It's true that later on the borrower set up the field as a possible sale situation, but it didn't start off like that. Rabbi Yehuda, the Koshari, Rabbi Yehuda, who allows the lender to eat the fruits, Bahochi Askinon, it's based on the following circumstances. Shehisnu Mitchila, they made an arrangement, an agreement at the outset, She'im Yigoleno Hamocher Besoch Shalosh, that if the borrower does pay back within 3 years, Yachsir Loi Halokeach Adomim Mipero Shochal, the lender will pay for the fruits that he ate. Uveribis Amenas Lachsir Pligi, and they are arguing whether this arrangement is allowed. Do we allow someone to get into a situation where he will be refunding the ribbis according to Rebbe, according to the Rabbana? No, we don't let the lender even start eating the fruits. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we will let the lender start eating the fruits. However, he will have to pay back. He will have to pay back. According to the first approach before Rava, according to the Fi Rabbi Yehuda, there was no expectation for the lender to pay back for the fruits anyway, even if the loan is paid back in cash. Rashi goes on to say that Umasnisin Vitana de Braisa Baha Pligi. We saw our Mishnah that said it's like Ribis, and we saw a Braisa that said it's Ribis Gemura. They are arguing on this point. The Tana Didon Savar, Afilu Tzad Echod Nami Lo Have, Daha B'Toiras Mecher Osaliode. Our Tana holds that there isn't any element of Tzad Echod Beribis, because the field comes to the lender as a sale. The Tana de Braisa Savar Sof Sof, the Tana of the Braisa that says it's Ribis Gemura, he says, well, after all is said and done, Hoyul Velidei Ribis Osi, since it could come to Ribis, Tzad Echod, if in the event that it's not, that in the event that he redeems the field, in the event that the borrower pays back the cash, Karibis Gemurahi, that's enough to make it like Ribis, like full-fledged Ribis, Elo Shatora Hiti Rasa, except for the fact that the Torah allows it to be. Now, we should point out, lest we didn't explain this too accurately, we have to just re-explain this last point in the Rashi. The reference to our Mishnah and the Braisa was a reference to the case of the Bote Orechoma and not the case of the loan. So according to our Tana, just to go over the last point in Rashi, the house was transferred to the purchaser through a sale. There wasn't any element of loan. That's why our Tana says it's only like Ribis and not full-fledged Ribis. According to the Braisa, though, the case of the house in the Bote Rechoyma, since it comes to an element of Ribis, that's enough to make it like Ribis Gemurah. And when did we say that element of Ribis arises? That happens when the seller buys back the house and returns the purchase money to the buyer, and that buyer enjoyed not only getting back his money, but also the dwelling in the house over those few months, up till a year. Continuing in the Gemara, the last thing we had read was Ribis Almanas Lahachzir Iko Binayu Mor Sovar Osir. The Rabbanon would hold that that's forbidden. Umor Sovar Mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold that that is allowed. And as we saw in the Rashi, Rashi went on to explain the difference between Tana Didan, our Mishnah, and the Braisa with regard to Bote Orei Choyma. Meis Hamocher Yigal Beno, in the event that the seller of the house died, we say that the son has a right to take over where the father's position and redeem the house that his father had sold in the walled city. The Gemara asks Pshita. It would appear to be obvious that a son can do that. A son takes over for his father. So the Gemara answers, Ma'u detema v'ish kiyim kor. The Pasuk emphasizes the seller himself, Omar Rachmana. The Torah says, Ish kiyim kor v'hai lav mecher. And this is not the one that sold it. Komash malon v'hoisa ge'ulasoi mikomakom. The Pasuk emphasizes the redemption of the house. meaning under all circumstances, that the house has the option of being redeemed, even if it's not through the seller himself, but the son of the seller. Meis halokeach yigal miad benoi. In the event that the purchaser dies, so the redemption can be made by paying the son, paying back the son of the purchaser. Pshita. Once again, the Gemara says, well, that would seem to be obvious that the son takes over the position of his father, and if the father was alive, so he would be paid back the purchase money. So in this case, the son is paid back the purchase money. So the Gemara says, why do I need the Mishnah to explain this? Mahu detema. Well, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, la koine oisoi oma rachmona. V'ha lo kana. The Pusik makes reference to redeeming it from the one that bought it. And the son is not the one that bought it. Komash molon v'hoise gulaso mikol makom. The same phrase is cited again, that the Pusik makes reference to the redemption under all circumstances, whether it's redeeming from the purchaser himself or the son of the purchaser. Ein moinin loy shona elo misho'o shemochar v'chulei. The Mishnah made mention of the counting of the year from the point of the sale, from the point of the initial sale. We saw Rashi on the Mishnah give us an example of Reuven that sold to Shimon in Nisan, and Shimon sold to Levi in Iyar, and it was said that when the next Nisan arrives, that is the end of the year. So our Gemara continues, and maybe before we learn the Gemara, we ought to look at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Mochar habayis l'rishon, ubesoch hashona mochar lokeach harishon l'sheni. A house was sold to a purchaser, and the purchaser turned around and sold it to a second buyer within the year. Kishimagia shona l'mechira harishona, when a year arrives, vis-a-vis the first, the initial sale, lemi nechlat, who is it considered permanent for? And we'll see a machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan on this point. We turn now to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, shana. The pasuk made reference to the word shana. This pasuk, by the way, is recorded for your benefit on the side of the Gemara. You can see where this is mentioned. Eini yodea im shona l'rishon im shona l'sheni. When we speak about the year, is it a year with regard to the first sale or with regard to the second sale? Kishu omer ad melois loishona havei shona l'rishon. When the Torah says ad melois loishona, I understand it's a completion of the year of the initial sale. Let us take a look at the Rashi, who elaborates on this. Across from here, shana. Ihav iksiv ad malois shana. Had the pasuk written that without the word loy in it, the lokos of loy, eini yodea im shana lemecher rishon o shana lemecher sheni. I don't know, is it a reference to a completion of the year since the first sale, or a year from the second sale? Kegoin mochra risha Reuven l'Shimon b'Nisan, as we saw earlier in Rashi as well. Reuven sells to Shimon in Nisan, v'Shimon l'Levi b'Tishrei, and Shimon, here there's a slight difference in the example that we cited, but Shimon sells to Levi a half year later in Tishrei. V'hava mina Reuven shemochra rishon Mechashev im Levi. I would have thought that Reuven, who sold, was the first seller, he makes his calculation with Levi. V'yehei loy rishus ligualo ad tishrei abo. And I would have thought that Reuven, since he's making his calculation with regard to Levi, don't forget, bought it in Tishrei, so that Reuven would be able to redeem it from Levi up till the next Tishrei, would be basically a year and a half since Reuven's initial sale. Hashto dechsiv loy Now that the pasuk uses the word lo mashma, the amocher rishon komahader, that the year is calculated not based on the second purchaser, but rather on the initial sale. So now we've established that the year that we're speaking about is from, in this case, the sale that took place in Nisan, Reuven's sale. Now the Gemara goes on and says, Lemi cholut, which one of these two purchasers is considered having the benefit of the house permanently? Taking a look at Rashi, Lemi cholut, kishigia shana lemoicher rishon v'nechlat, we say that after a year from the initial sale, it becomes permanent. Mi min ha'loichim zoicher b'chalita zu, which one of these purchasers is the benefit of that chalita, permanence? The Gemara continues, Rebbe Lozer Omer, lo rishon cholut. Looking at Rashi, lo rishon cholut, de Reuven ein goyala oid mishimon. Reuven cannot redeem it from Shimon. Avol Shimon goala mi Levi ad shigia shana lemecher sheni. However, Shimon can redeem it from Levi until a year goes by from his sale. Shere lelevi lo nechlata. It doesn't become permanent with regard to Levi. So that when we say lo rishon cholut, it basically is telling us that Reuven is out of the picture with regard to redeeming it. He can't redeem it from Shimon. And as far as Rashi is concerned, all that remains open is Shimon's possible ability to redeem it from Levi. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, L'sheni Cholut. Rashi, L'sheni Cholut, She'ein Shimon Goala Mi Levi. Shimon, being that the year is up with regard to his own, from the time he purchased the house, in other words, when the next Nisan rolls around, even though Shimon had bought the house, had sold the house a half year earlier to Levi, but when the Nisan rolls around from that initial sale, so Shimon is now a year from the point in time he bought it. The fact that he transferred it on a half year earlier to Levi is of no relevance according to Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore Shimon is removed from the picture of redemption. So you have an interesting situation here. You have Levi, who has been holding on to the house for only half a year. He is not threatened even by Shimon. The Gemara continues. Bishlamo l'Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer's approach here is simpler, is easier to understand. The L'didei Komaninon. We're counting from him. In other words, we're counting from the year of the seller. And we're saying that Reuven, who sold it in Aleph Nisan, when the next Nisan rolls around, so Reuven can no longer redeem because the initial time is calculated from Reuven's sale. Ela Rabbi Yochanan, my time. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, how are we to understand this point that Shimon is knocked out, so to speak, and it's cholut to Levi? When, after all, as we said before, Levi was holding on to this house only for half a year. Omar, so we answer this question. We also feature a triangle, and on the side, under our mivneh, we point out that the triangle highlights comments of Rabbi Abba Bar Momol. As we go on the Omid, if you skim down the page, you'll see a number of his comments on the daf. So, as far as understanding Rabbi Yochanan, how is it that Shimon is knocked out of the redemption possibility when his sale to Levi was one of only half a year? Namely, after Shimon had been holding onto the house from Nisan to Tishrei, Shimon sold it to Levi on Tishrei, and comes around the next Nisan, which is a half a year later, we say that Shimon is already unable to redeem. The Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Ma Mochar Lo Rishon L'Sheni. What in fact did Reuven transfer to Shimon, who's the second one? Kol Zchus Shetov Eliyado. He transferred to Shimon all of his Reuven's powers, and it's clear that Reuven is certainly knocked out of redeeming from Aleph, from Nisan, when he made the initial sale. So that that time frame is bought by Shimon, so that Shimon realizes that just like Reuven's redemption possibilities stop upon the arrival of the next Nisan, my redemption possibilities also cease the next Nisan. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. We have here in this piece of Gemara a Roman numeral number 1 appearing to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you will see a few lines later Roman numeral number 2. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you see we feature these Roman numerals, and we explain Shnei Mikrim, there are two incidents, two cases, Shel Mechirois L'Shnei Anoshim, regarding sales to two people. V'Siyum Shana Yesh Lo Nafkamina, the end of the year has a halachic, how we determine end of year has a halachic bearing. With regard to one of the two purchasers, we said we're going to talk about cases where one person sells to two purchasers. One of the purchasers buys the 15th of the first of Adar. The first Adar. There are two, talking about a leap year situation where an extra Adar is added. It may be pointed out that when we speak about an extra Adar being added, ironically, it's what we call Adar Aleph. The first Adar is really called the additional Adar. In other words, we slip in an extra Adar between the month of Shvat and the official Adar, which we call here Adar Sheni. So, with regard to one, the sale took place the 15th of Adar Aleph. Ulesheni Aleph Adar Sheni, the first of the second Adar. We should also point out that the subsequent year is not going to have two Adars in it. It's going to have only one Adar. So when is the year up? We have, again, the current year has two Adars, in which one sale took place the 15th of Adar Aleph, and the second took place Aleph of Adar Beis. The next year is going to have only one Adar in it. One Adar which has an Aleph to it, a first day, and it has a 15th day. The cases that the Gemara will feature under our Roman numerals will be Mechiras Bayis Beboter Rechoma, the sale of a house in a walled city, and the second will be the case of Mechiras Bechoros, the sale of a Bechor. Bechor is a firstborn animal, and there is an expectation that firstborn male animal is brought as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, of course, when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Now, turning to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Mochar Shnei Boti Orei Choma. He sold two houses in walled cities. Echad B'Chamisha Asar Ba'adar Rishon. To one, the house was sold, 15th of Adar Aleph. The Echad Ba'adar Hasheni, and the second sale was of the second house was done with a second party, second purchaser. He bought it the first of Adar Sheni. So we have in our scenario, we have a seller and we have two buyers. One buyer bought it the 15th of Adar Aleph, and the second buyer bought it the first of Adar Sheni. And again, we have to emphasize the next year there is only one Adar. Ze shemochalo ba'ador hasheni, the purchaser who bought second, he bought 2 weeks after the first guy. He bought Aleph Ador Sheni, the first of the second Ador. Kevon shigia yoim echod ba'ador shoshon abo, when Aleph Ador comes the next year, also loishana, his year is complete. So that the seller will not be able to redeem his house. Ze shemochalo b'chamishosor shel ado harishon, the fellow who bought initially, the first of the two buyers, who bought on the 15th of Adar Rishon, the 15th of the first Adar, he was the earlier buyer. Lo also lo shona ad chamisha asar ba'adar shel shona haba'a. The year is not said to be over until the 15th of Adar the following year. So we have an interesting situation here. We have a case where an earlier buyer is able to stay in his house later than the later buyer. Maskif lo ravino. Now, it's not advantageous, we should say, for someone to be open to redemption, to forced redemption, for a longer period of time. So we can say in the case we just had, that we just featured, that the fellow who bought on the 15th of Adar Aleph feels a certain sense of disadvantage. So, maskif l'ravino, v'lei mole, these diamonds are used to highlight the expression in both cases of v'lei mole, meaning let the one of the parties react to the other and say, v'lei mole, ana kodim shochin nura mikama didach. Literally, is I lit up the fire earlier than you. Meaning, I bought a house on 2 weeks before you bought your house. There were two houses sold. I bought mine in the walled city 2 weeks before you bought yours in the walled city. In other words, I've been using my house earlier, and yet the chalita takes place before me. The chalita is this element of permanence sets in for you before it sets in for me. So why is that not a taina? Why is that not a claim? The Gemara answers, Mishum di omale, because the second purchaser says, At nochis li'ibura, vano lo nachisis li'ibura. You got involved with extension times. The first Adar is an extension period. I bought Aleph Adar Sheni. I'm a regular guy, so to speak, because I bought the first of what would be a regular Adar. As we mentioned earlier, that the extension month when a leap year takes place is really the insertion of a first Adar between Shvat and the official Adar. Rashi explains, At nechasis liibura nechnasto b'chodesh ibur. You entered your purchase took place during an extension month. Lefikach tafsid. You therefore lose out, meaning lose out in the sense that you have to wait longer for permanence, which is to your benefit. The tamimo ksiv, the word tamimo appears in the Torah, litain loy chodesh ho'ibor. We saw this earlier, that the advantage of having an extension period for redemption is given to the seller. So that because you bought it during the ibor, and the Gzeres HaKosov of Tamimo, which gives the seller an advantage, that's your problem, so to speak. Avolani lo nichnasti bo. I didn't get involved with that problem. I bought it Aleph Adar Sheni, and as we explained, the Adar Sheni is really the non-extended month, and as a result, I am calculating from Aleph Adar, albeit Adar Sheni, till Aleph Adar of the next year. That's 1 year, one full year. You, who bought it during the extension period, have to suffer, so to speak, a longer time till you benefit from the permanent aspect, thereby which cuts out or prevents the original seller from redeeming it. Turning to the Gemara, the Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Noldu Loi Shnei Tloim. A person has two firstborn sheep bought in his flock. And there is a requirement that the bringing of the firstborn, the Bechor sacrifice, takes place within a year of the animal's birth. So he had two births. Echad b'chamisha asar shel Adar Rishon. One animal was born the 15th of the first Adar. The Echad b'Echad b'Adar Hasheni. And the other animal was born the first of the second Adar. Zeh shenolad b'Echad b'Adar Hasheni. The later birth, the one that was born first of Adar, second Adar. Kevan shigia yoim Echad b'Adar shel Shana haba. When the Aleph Adar of next year comes around, also lo shana. That's the end of the year. Zeh shenolad lo b'chamisha asar b'Adar Rishon, the animal born earlier, the 15th of the first Adar, lo also lo shana ad chamisha asar b'Adar shel shana haba. His year is up 2 weeks later than the latter birth that took place Adar Aleph Adar Sheni. So, with regard to that animal, he has a longer amount of time in which to bring it as a korban. Maskif lo Ravina. As we saw before, the same style question Ravina raises. V'leimole, anao kodim ochil yarko mekama dedoch. It's as if the animal is speaking, saying that I started eating grass or vegetables before you did. In other words, we're pointing out this unusual situation where the animal that was born earlier is actually, there's a longer amount of time. He was born and started eating grasses before the second animal, and yet the second animal's time in which to be brought as a sacrifice ends earlier. Mishum di Amale, similar answers we saw before. At Nochisis Liibura, you, the one that was born Tesvav Adar Aleph, was born during the extension month. Ano lo nachisna libura. I, the second animal, was born Aleph Adar Sheni, was not born during during an extension period, and hence I calculate according to a regular year. Ha su lamali hainuach. What do I need the second example for? Isn't it the same as the first example? The Gemara answers, Mal detema hasam dichti tamima. There, in the case of Bote Ore Choma, the houses in the walled cities, the Torah uses the word tamima, which explains that an extra amount of time is granted because of this. Because of the case of a leap year. Avol hocha deloksiv tamima lo. But in the case of Bechoros, where you don't have the word tamima, maybe it's based on simple passage of 12 months. And therefore, if you were to say that, the animal that's born Tesvav Ador Rishon, its year wouldn't end Tesvav of next year's Ador, but it would end 12 months later, and if you calculate 12 months from Ador Rishon, you'll end up Tesvav of Shvat of the next year. Komash Molon. So that's the point of the second teaching of Rav Abba Bar Mamol. He comes to tell me, Deshona Shona Mehadodi Gamri, that the words Shona appear in both topics, the topic of Bechoros and the topic of houses in walled cities. And just like in the case of houses in walled cities, we have this teaching from Tamima, which introduces this idea of extension, so too with regard to Bechor. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Kishu Omer Tamima v'chulei, Revi Omer Litein Shnas Ibura. A Tanaic source featuring Rebbe and the Chachamim, Shana Tamima, the Pasuk regarding the redemption of houses in walled cities, uses this expression of Shana Tamima, a complete year. Rebbe Oimer, Moina Shloish Meois Vishishim V'chamisha Yomim Kaminyan Yemois Achamo. In order to determine a year during which the seller can force a resale or buyback of the house, is measured in terms of a solar year, 365 days. Within that time, he can buy it back. If that lapses, he can no longer force a repurchase. V'chachomim oimrim, moina shneim osar chodesh miyom liyom. The Chachamim say we count 12 months from day to day, the 12 lunar months that constitute a Jewish calendar, a lunar year. Ve'im nisabra, nisabra loy. And if there is an extension of the year by the addition of an additional month, like we just finished discussing in the previous sukkah, that extension is to the benefit of the mocher, of the seller, enabling him an extra month in which to decide to whether or not buy back the house. Higia yoim shneimosor chodesh veloy nigal v'chulei. Tana Rabbanan. The Tanaic source opens up with a quote from the Pasuk, one word, Latzmisus. The Pasuk had read in Vayikra Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Lamed. This Pasuk is included in the upper inside margin, the upper outside margin of your page. You can see we've written V'im lo yigal ad melois lo shona tamima v'koma bayis asher bo'ir asher lo choma Latzmisus lakoina oisoi. So the word latzmisus equals lachalutin, permanent. Dover acher, latzmisus, l'rabois es hamatona. The word latzmisus includes a case of someone receiving a house in a walled city as a gift. My taima, how do you account for an extra limud, an extra law from this one word? Tzomis, tzmisus. The Torah, if it wanted to refer to permanence, it could have used the word tzomis. It rather uses the word smisus, an extra couple of letters, indicating something else that can be darshan from it, and hence we include a receiver of a house as a gift. Amrua Rabbonon Kameder of Papa. Now, in this Gemara, we're going to be focusing as our nosei topic in the, heading indicates in the outside margin, Matona Kemecher. Do we view a gift as a sale? And we want to point out, as far as the unfolding of this Gemara is concerned, you'll see there's squiggle underlines that are used, in which there are speakers, there are different speakers, they change back and forth. Amrua Rabbonan Kamei Durav Popa, Keman, Dolo Karebi Meir. This idea of including a house received as a gift, being subject to the same laws as a house purchased, is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Deik Rabbi Meir, Ho'omar, Rabbi Meir has been known to say, Matona eino kemecher. A gift is not viewed as a sale. Omar of Papa, so the Rav Papa who had heard what they said to him, he responds, Afilu teima Rabbi Meir, you can say even according to Rabbi Meir, Shaini hocha, this case is different. In the case of the house, that you can say, in general, Rabbi Meir holds that we do not view matonas, gifts, as we would a sale, with regard to whatever halacha. However, here it's different. The Ravi Rachmona Latzmisus, because you have this word in which we saw that there is something to include, and we're going to, because of this special word or extra letters in this word, we are including the case of a gift to be treated as we would a sale, and hence, one who receives a house in a walled city as a gift, the giver of the gift can buy it back, but only up till only within a year. Amru Rabbonon l'Rav Papa. Here you have a further aspect of this discussion. The Rabbonon said to Rav Papa, "The Amar Lo." A different version is instead of the Rabbonon saying to Rav Papa, it's Rav Huna braid Rav Yoshua l'Rav Papa. V'ha gabi yoivel dichtiv toshuvu l'rabos es amatana v'rabi meir lo ko marbi. The pasuk dealing with yovel, it says toshuvu ish el achuzaso, that a person returns to his person who had sold a house, sold property, sold land during the yovel cycle, and when the yovel year arrives, he gets back his property. And from this word toshuvu, there are those that learn this includes someone who gave a land as a gift, that the giver gets his land back when the yovel year arrives. And in that context, Rabbi Meir was not including a gift as would be a sale. Ella, Rather, you have to conclude, ha vadai de lo karebi meir, that this teaching, this source that says that latz misus l'rabbas is a matana, is definitely not like Rebbe Meir, Tanu Rabbanan. Before going on in this piece of Gemara, we glance at the outside margin, the no saying, Ein Chalito Lehektish. This concept of permanence does not apply with regard to hektish. Misha hektish beso, someone who had sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, he had sanctified his house in a walled city, v'giyah shana v'lo nigalo, and a year arrived and the owner had not redeemed it. This concept of owner redemption restriction to a year does not apply to a house that is sanctified. And hence, in our source, we have the word hamakdish. We dot underlined it to emphasize that this is a to be focused on. We're dealing with hektish as opposed to a sale. So the source says hamakdish bayis bebotei rechoima, one who sanctified a house that he owned in a walled city. Hareze goyel miyad v'goyel le'olam. He can redeem it immediately, and he also can redeem it open ended le'olam. In other words, way beyond the year that is allotted. Go'aloi acher miyad hegdish. If someone else redeemed the house from hegdish, higia yoim shneim osar chodesh velo nigal hoya cholut lo. If 12 months lapses from the point that this outsider bought it from the gizbar, bought it from the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, and the original owner has not redeemed it from his hands, the hands of this now private owner, so it is permanent for him. Mino hanimili. From where do we learn this? Omar Shmuel, Dermakro Lakoina Oisoi. This concept of permanence in the hands of a purchaser from Hegdish is learned from the Loshon Lakoina Oisoi Vafilu Miyat Hegdish, even someone who buys it from Hegdish. Question, v'lechalte hegdish, why is there not this concept of permanence when it's in the hands of hegdish? Answer, Omar Krah, the posuk, and this is a reference to Vayikra Perik Chofhei, posuk Lamed, l'doirosov, the word l'doirosov appears indicating generations. Generations is a function of reproduction, people bearing children and children bearing children, creating generations. So this concept of reproduction is to the exclusion of hektish, yotza hektish, she'ein lo doros. The Beis HaMikdash is something that's considered divine, and that doesn't have this concept, the concept of reproduction doesn't apply there. Lo yetze bayovel. Lomali. This was stated in Posuk Lamed. It says it's Latzmisus Lekoino, so those of Lo yetze bayovel, it doesn't leave his possession, the one to whom permanence was granted, it doesn't leave his possession when the Yovel year arrives. So why is that taught? It said already Latzmisus. Omar of Safra, lo nitzurcha elo lemocher bayis bebotei orechoima. The teaching here regards a situation where his house was sold in a walled city, ufoga bo yovel besoich shnosoi, and within a year of the sale, a yovel year arrived. Salkodaito chamino leipuk beyovel. I would have thought without this teaching that, since the Yovel year arrived within a year of his purchase of the house in the walled city, that it should be returned to the seller upon the arrival of the Yovel. Komashmolan lo yetze bayovel. So it's, the Pasuk is telling me it doesn't leave, even under these circumstances, where Yovel arrived so soon, because it says Latzmisus in the Pasuk. The Mishnah. Borishona hoya nitman yoim shneimos or chodesh. Originally, the buyer of a house in a walled city would hide at the end of the year, being that the owner hasn't redeemed it till now, it's now coming very close to the end. On that last day of the year, he would hide kideshecholitlo, so that he would, so the owner, the original owner, wouldn't meet with him and attempt to redeem the house, so that it will be remain permanent with him now. Hiskin Hillel. So Hillel established shehe chaylesh ma'isav lishka, that the original owner could place the money in the lishka. Lishka, as we call it, an office or a chamber. Vehe shoiver es hadeles v'nichnas, and the owner can then smash open the door and enter the house that he originally sold. After all, he did put the redemption money in the lishka. And whenever the buyer wants to take the redemption money, he can come and take it. So this Mishnah features something we can call forced redemption. As we look toward the Gemara, we see some markings, and the house marking is prominent, and the Roman numeral number 1 also appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. These are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature the house with the Roman numerals. Shnei Lishonos Barava, we will see two versions of Rava, Be'inyan Nesino Bal Korcho, concerning the concept of forced giving. One is Mocher Beso Be'orei Choma, Shebal Liftois Beso Midei Alokeach. The case of a seller of a house in a walled city that comes to pay redemption money to buy it from the purchaser. Nesinas Moos Kidei Lekayim Tanai Beget. And also a situation of paying of money in order to fulfill conditions in a divorce, or divorce document, as we will see. So we will open up with comments of Rava, and then the house form will appear in a flipped-over fashion, indicating dechios, a rejection of whatever was being said. So we now continue with the Gemara. Omar Rava, mitakonasu shel Hillel, from the takona of Hillel that we saw featured in the Mishnah. Hare zegitech. Imagine a case of someone saying to a woman, here is your divorce, the divorce document, the get. I'm giving you this divorce, and a divorce will take hold on condition that you give me 200 zuz. V'nosna loy, and she gives him the 200 zuz. Midaito migareshes, if it's with his knowledge, then he willingly takes it, she will be divorced. Bal korchoy eino migareshes, if he is going to be taking the money but under duress, so then you will not have a fulfillment of the get. Now, how do we know that a forced giving of money, or the forced giving, doesn't constitute a fulfillment? Midi itzterich, the top of Daf Lamed Beis, midi itzterich lei lehillel liskuni nesina bal korcha v'nesina, from the fact that Hillel needed to establish a special ruling that a forced giving constitutes a giving, and that was made in the case of the redemption of a house in a walled city. We can infer that ha be'alma, that in general, in all other areas of halacha, nesina bal korcha lo havi nesina, a forced giving is not considered a giving. And in this get case, in the divorce situation, the stipulation was on condition that you give me 200 zuz. What constitutes a giving? So we can see from the, we'll call it the contingency case that Hillel addressed, that in general, though, forced giving is not a giving. Maskif law Rav Papa vitema Ravashi. Rav Papa rejects this analysis of Rava, and some versions have Ravashi. Vidilma, and Vidilma is double underlined here, and it's done again to give a sense of balance in the next Lashon, the next version. These are the alternatives that Rav Papa presents. So he says, Vidilma, it could be, ki itzterich le'hillel liskuni shelo b'fonav. Hillel's contingency was with regard only to the fact that it's not in his presence, in the presence of the buyer. In other words, Hillel made a takana that the original owner can deposit the money in the chamber, in the lishka, even if not in the presence of the buyer. Aval befonov. However, when it comes to the payment in his presence, well, I don't need Hillel for that. Bein bidaito, bein bal korcho, havya nesina. A forced giving is considered a giving if it's in the individual's presence. So as far as this is concerned, so that then the original, that Rava's conclusion before wouldn't hold. Rava wanted to conclude that that the woman's giving of the 200 zuz against the will of the husband is not considered a fulfillment of the condition. Not true. It could be that a forced giving, since a condition was made of, on condition that you give me 200 zuz, she is giving it, regardless of his approval or disapproval at that time. Ika di Amri Omar Rava. Now, another version. Rava says, Mitakonasu shel Hillel, from the Takon of Hillel, I learn, a man says to a woman, this is your divorce on condition that you give me 200 zuz. Vinosna loy bein midaito bein baal korcho havya nesina. Here you can see quite the opposite of the first approach. Here, Rava wants to conclude that a forced giving of the money would constitute a fulfillment of the condition. What did Hillel enact as a contingency? Shelo befonav, a giving when the buyer was not present. Avol befonav, but things done in front of an individual, I don't need Hillel for that. Bein midaito bein baal korcho havya nesina. That's considered a fulfillment of a giving, whether it be a willing acceptance or a forced acceptance. Maskiflora Papa Vitema Rav Simi Barashi. Once again, you see Rav Papa objecting to the conclusion of Rava, and says Vidilma, it could be that Bain Bufanov, Bain Shilo Bufanov, whether giving of whatever is done in the presence of or not in his presence or in his absence, Midaito in Balkorholo, only if it's done with his approval, but things done against one's will would not be a giving, would not be a fulfillment, or would not be considered a giving. So that it could be that in general, Baal Korcho is not acceptable. The Hillel might the Itzdrich Le Tokin. Hillel made a takona for that which was necessary for him to enact as a contingency. Rashi at the upper part of the page says, Maide Itzdrich Le Tokin, V'i Have Nami Lokea Chosam. And even if the lokeach was present, v'lohavi boy likbulinu, and the lokeach, the purchaser of the house in the walled city, didn't want to accept the money, havi itzrich v'hillel liskuni, Hillel would have had to enact the baal korchoi tehevei nesina, that only there baal korcho forced giving is considered a giving. But that's only there, that's what Hillel had to enact, that even in his presence, a Baal Korcho Nesina would be good. But in general, Baal Korcho Nesinas would not be acceptable, even in the presence of the assigned receiver. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.